You're listening to Hockey Central Saturday with Nick Alberga and Rory Boylan on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
And with that, there goes another NHL regular season. On to the Stanley Cup playoffs we go. For first time to set it all up, it's Hockey Central Saturday across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Nick Alberga joined alongside Rory Boylan at the Golden Muzzy, at Rory Boylan, where you can find us on Twitter. Many thanks to producer Hayden Mathewson, statistician Papa Minnow here on location. Great work all season long. Same goes for Tristan and Jared back at Master Control. And honestly, where does the time go? It seemed like just yesterday we were kicking off the NHL regular season. And then next thing you know, we're here at the final day of the season. It's all finished now. We look forward, Rory, to the Stanley Cup playoffs.
It feels just like yesterday. The Buffalo Sabres were on a 10-game winning streak. And we were talking about how they were turning a corner. You know, feels just like yesterday. The Calgary Flames were getting blown out by the Pittsburgh Penguins. 9-2, was it? 9-1, whatever that game was. And how things change over the course of an NHL season.
1,271 regular season games to get here. Jeez. And know our playoff matchups. We'll have those previews coming up here on the program. We're going to dive in a bit, to what happened on Saturday. Only the Anaheim Ducks did not play. They wrapped up their season with a 5-2 win against the rival LA Kings on Friday. Most of the games on Saturday, not much in terms of playoff implications. The Central was up for grabs. Certainly a big topic of conversation coming up on the show. Nashville swoops in and grabs that. But Rory, we got to start with the man, the myth, the legend in his 50th season. Final Hockey Night in Canada game won Bob Cole. What an absolute legend.
Yeah, I mean, there's the calls that you know about before you were even born, like the they're going home. They're going
home
on the Russians.
One. The punch up?
Yeah.
The
Russians were playing Philadelphia.
You're right.
Right?
You're right. Yeah. The other one, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The punch up of Pia Sandy Juniors. So there's ones like those. There's the one that I first remember as a hockey fan, the Mario Lemieux goal on John Casey against the Minnesota North Stars in the Stanley Cup final. And then, I mean, how many after that? It's the Sundin goal. I mean, it could just go on and on and on. And I think, too, for me, in the time that I grew up, Bob Cole's voice with Harry Neal's voice as his color commentator, too, the two of them together were a formidable team when they worked together in the broadcast booth. And, you know, sit off the top, where does the time go? And here we are 50 years after he first started. I mean, I've heard him my entire life growing up. Bob Cole is... he's come to the end, and it's going to be sad going into next playoffs or next hockey season not having Bob Cole's voice around.
Yeah, I'm with you, and certainly one of the biggest reasons why I elected and chose from a young age to pursue a career in sports broadcasting and covering the NHL was a man like Bob Cole. It just meant so much to the broadcasting community. The way he conducted himself on a game-by-game basis, the legendary calls, I mean, every legitimate call in the NHL over the last like 50 years has had some form of Bob Cole call. So greatly from that aspect of the play-by-play duties, he will be missed. What will go down as certainly one of the best ever. And you know, with that in mind, it was only fitting that they had him wrap up on Hockey Night in Canada, the Montreal Canadiens, the Toronto Maple Leafs. A game didn't mean much in the standings, but again, a theme throughout this man's career, every time he called the game, it seemed like there was some form of theatrics. And Rory, it was no different on Saturday night. Ryan Poehling makes his NHL debut just a week after signing a contract out of the NCAA collegiate route. A former draft pick, of course, of the Montreal Canadiens, makes his debut. And what does he do? Well, he promptly nets a hat trick and the shootout winner in a 6-5 win against the Maple Leafs.
No problem. Another scramble at the shot of the net is in the goal. It might say Delorier is going to get the goal, but it was a scramble and somehow got in past Anderson. He's on the puck along with Delorier. He's got it back to the blue line. Off the crossbar. Score! Poehling gets his second goal of his young career. Wow! What a night for this guy. Up to center with Shaw. He went off stride. Coming in! Score! The hats are going to rain down in Montreal. in the National Hockey League. Ryan Poehling, standing old, coming for him. Yes, sir! What an unbelievable start of a career. Ryan Poehling scores on the shootout for a sport marker of the game.
En français, incroyable, Rory Boylan, because that had a lot of Austin Matthews game one against the Ottawa Senators.
Yes.
Did it not, in terms of the moxie and the pedigree there?
It did. Everything seemed to be going, except the pedigree's a little different. Like, Poehling scored 8 goals all season for his NCAA team. He scores 3 in his first NHL game. I mean, it was a dominating effort, but he also was the best player in the tournament at the WJC. He was named that, won that award. He was phenomenal for the Americans in their silver medal effort. I think he projects more as a second or third liner, but you look at this first game, he looks like he might be a little better than that. And just the latest centerman to come along, that was a weakness for the Canadians not too long ago. And now you look at all the riches they have down the middle there.
And the best part of the story, you had Bob Cole in his final game on Hockey Night in Canada call the hat trick and the shootout winner. Let's take a look back at just the remarkable historic career of one Bob Cole.
You have to feel the game, the breathing, the timing, and the sounds you're creating. When you get 20,000 plus roaring after a play, it's perfect.
Passion that he has for the game, that talent of being able to set the table, he's got a real knack for that.
You know, they have to be more than a little uptight. Harry, I guess we all are.
The core of our announcers were so special because they grew up playing the game.
Growing up in Canada, we all played hockey.
Up to the blue line, gaining speed to center. A forward pass.
He had that magical sound, that great hockey voice.
Harry Don was blown in front.
The sound of the Montreal Canadiens, the Toronto Maple Leafs. I was there. And Foster's voice brought me there. Saturday night was a very special time. Monday morning, I'd get prodded. Come on, Coley, let's have a bit of Saturday's game. Still trying to get it right.
Everybody, I'm Bob Cole with Harry Neal. Here we go on Saturday night, dancing away to center and coming in on goal.
First shot! My God!
The truth is, you have to sell the song with your sincerity. That's Bob's magic. He sings the game.
Lots the line and is around the net, over the line and cutting along the board. Turns away, makes a play, twisting and turning.
As the game got on, his voice ramped up.
Look out!
When the game gets dicey, so does he.
Wait a minute, break up. One squaring off here, Harry. The gloves are down, helmets are off, and they're gonna go. Oh! Flailing away each other. I think this crowd is now pumped up. I think this team is not pumped up.
You're there to enhance the game. Don't ever try to steal it from the players. They're the game.
These hockey players are truly amazing. And look at them go. A beauty to watch.
When I was a little boy, I remember Silats, the captain of the Maple Leafs.
Abs is on the job and takes the pass, going over the line.
He could do no wrong.
He shoots, he scores!
You know that a champion will not lie down. Rolled it up to Trache. Passing, escape! Scores! Steve, you wanted it so badly. You got it now, baby.
The real great players are special people. I've enjoyed that over the years. It's a great privilege.
And here it is, Wayne LeMoyne.
He's the Gordie Howe of commentating.
His amazing voice, that perfect hockey broadcasting voice.
The crowd is cheering tonight. Some have said the book is closing tonight.
Gets rather emotional when you get down to it. I don't think about that stuff. So drop the puck. Hopefully it can take it all in and give it all out.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from the Northlands Coliseum, the Montreal Forum, from the Boston Garden.
Power of letting it breathe. He understood that we are there to facilitate.
It's the Oilers coming out for him.
One action here in the 9 minutes.
Orchestra playing.
Hello, Canada and hockey fans.
A singer singing.
Fires!
A hockey player playing the game.
And away they go. Sabiner rebound. Robbed him. I tell you, robbed him. Come again. Here we go. Let's be right in. Scores! Eiserman. No more. Things are dead. Oh, baby.
Oh, that was a perfect, perfect feature there on Hockey Night in Canada, just commemorating again the career, the narrative of one Bob Cole wrapping up 50 years. And again, only fitting with it, including and featuring Ryan Poehling in his NHL debut, notching a hat trick, the shootout winner for Montreal 6-5 over the Toronto Maple Leafs. So congratulations to Bob Cole. A phenomenal career as you continue to listen here to Hockey Central Saturday on the Sportsnet Radio Network. It's Nick Alberga joined alongside Rory Boylan. As we get you set, Rory, for the Stanley Cup playoffs,
yes.
And I think we have one definitive favorite in mind right now, no?
How is it not the Tampa Bay Lightning? How are they not the favorite, right? I mean, you could
make the argument that, hey, until the defending cup champs are beaten, they're the favorite, but I'm
yep.
with you.
And Washington is absolutely coming in looking great, and I couldn't fault anybody for picking them to win it again or anything like that. It's just... nobody has won the President's Trophy by as much of a margin as Tampa Bay did this year since the 95-96 Red Wings, who also won 62 games. Just the third team in history to get that mark, to get to 60 wins in a season. I mean, there's skill up and down the lineup. There's a question of whether or not Victor Hedman will be ready for the playoffs after he took a hit last week. He hit Carl Hagelin, and Carl Hagelin's helmet hit him in the head, so you wonder about concussion and all that stuff. But there is still a lot of weapons for that Tampa Bay team. When you're talking about who is the favorite, whether or not you're going to pick them to win the cup, who is the favorite right now? It's hands down the Tampa Bay Lightning.
And speaking of weapons, Nikita Kucherov, a Hart Trophy worthy season. It will happen. Another milestone to add on Saturday afternoon against the Boston Bruins.
Hands it off to Kucherov, splits two Bruins, cuts it along, scores! Nikita Kucherov. A beautiful goal to give him 41 of the season and point number 127.
There's Rick Peckham, the call on Fox Sports Florida, and just it continued for Kucherov. Finished with 41 goals, 87 assists, 128 points for the Art Ross Trophy, among other trophies he's about to take away this spring. The most ever by a Russian-born NHL player and the most in the NHL since Wayne Gretzky put up 130 in 93-94. By the way, Tampa beat Boston, but that score really didn't matter.
Yeah, and just in case you don't know, the Russian record that he broke was Alexander Mogilny's.
Yeah.
This is insane. 76 goals in 77 games and 127 points, 1992-93 for the Buffalo Sabres.
Pretty it's, again.
Like, this is a throwback season in a lot of ways in terms of offense.
It is, and the funny thing to me, and this is taking nothing away from the guy in Edmonton, we all expected it from McDavid, and the fact that it came from Kucherov is incredible to me.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why people didn't really consider him for the Hart as much last year is because they saw Steven Stamkos as the guy on that team. And, you know, you put this year combined with last year and the way he's really improved over his career, Kucherov is hands down the guy who makes things go. When you look at how they operate on their power play, it goes through him and his fake passes, or he winds up and takes the shot. You never know what he's going to do, but he creates so much on their power play. Everything goes through Nikita Kucherov. He is their alpha dog on that team. It's not Stamkos, although he had an amazing season as well.
So let's set up that series right now. It'll be Tampa and the Columbus Blue Jackets who took care of their own business in Canada on Saturday, but sadly Carolina did that as well in Philadelphia. So Columbus got the second wild card. I believe they won 8 of 9 games to finish up the regular season and put themselves in a spot to clinch a playoff berth on the penultimate day of the NHL season, that shootout winner against the New York Rangers. It's not favorable, let's be honest, for any team stacking up against Tampa, but no. Do you give Columbus any shot whatsoever to win a series here?
Well, I mean, they're going to be motivated, and it took them a little bit of time after the trade deadline when they brought in all these guys, but it really does seem like they've hit a bit of a groove here, and you know, everybody is starting to come around and get some poise for them. Artemi Panarin, who went on a stretch there of not getting any goals or generating enough points, he ended up scoring 14 in his last 18 games, and he's coming around and scoring a ton. Josh Anderson, Oliver Bjorkstrand, a couple of guys who have been used lower down in that lineup more often than not this season, finished exceptionally strong. Ryan Dzingel, Matt Duchene started to even come around there. The most important thing for this team, though, and I think it's the only thing that's going to be able to beat Tampa Bay at any point in this playoff season, is strong goaltending.
Yeah.
And Sergei Bobrovsky finished the season really strong for the Columbus Blue Jackets. A .926 save percentage in February, followed by a .940 save percentage in March. And you look at that, and that's kind of what they're going to need to lean on. I think back to probably the best team of the salary cap era that didn't win a Stanley Cup, the 2009-10 Washington Capitals, who didn't make it past the amazing goaltending of Jaro Halak,
yeah,
and the Montreal Canadiens. Like, that's kind of the way that you've got to beat Tampa Bay almost. The problem is Sergei Bobrovsky's playoff history is utter garbage, really. I mean, he's got a below .900 save percentage career-wise in the playoffs. He's never had a good one. You got to think, though, a guy that skilled, who's won the Vezina Trophy and has been so good throughout his entire career, you got to think that he's bad in the playoffs until he's not anymore. And the question is this the season where he finally gets going?
That's true, because I think you can say that with any goalie. Until they found their game in the playoffs, They're going to be that guy who hasn't found their game in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I totally agree with you. Like, I don't want to say it's a prayer and a chance that Columbus can beat Tampa, but it essentially is. Like, they need Bobrovsky to stand on his head. It's really good of you to reference Jaroslav Halak, because it's comparable to that series back in the day. I remember I was in Montreal for an extended period of time watching a lot of that series with family and friends back in the day against the Capitals. And that performance Halak put on was one of the best in Stanley Cup playoff history. And Pretty much what Columbus needs. And the matchup game's not going to be pretty for them. You're going to have to rely a lot on Matt Duchene, Panarin, Dubois. Can he handle that situation? Yep. The depth scoring certainly in favor of what Tampa Bay has done. I think a side note, Oliver Bjorkstrand, as you alluded to, has been red hot the last month, which is great news. Hedman's going to be a big wild card going into that series. And I think you give the nod in between the pipes to Andrei Vasilevsky, who's likely to win the Vezina Trophy. So that David versus Goliath card, I mean, it's fun to be that team. I think if you're the team not expected the underdog, because nobody's given you any shots, so anything you do is just gravy. But This is going to be such an uphill battle.
There's going to be so much pressure put on those Columbus defensemen. Chiefly, I think the guy who's going to be relied on most to shut these guys down, Seth Jones. I had him down as my Norris winner at the start of the season, thinking Columbus was going to be a really good team. He was going to take another step forward. I think he'll get to a Norris eventually one day in his career. It didn't quite happen, but I did think he started to get better towards the end of that season. But, Zach Werenski is the more offensive-minded guy. When it comes to shutting down the Tampa Bay Lightning, Seth Jones is going to be given a ton of minutes, and all that pressure is going to be on his shoulders.
Let's stick with the Atlantic Division. The 2-3 matchup starts Thursday night, by the way, TD Garden in Boston, the Boston Bruins and the Toronto Maple Leafs. To me, there's a couple things this will come down to. Clearly, goaltending, you can say that with every series. The matchup game is going to be crucial. Boston home ice. John Tavares, I think, will have to have an impact, goes without saying, but you look at the matchup game last year as opposed to this year, I think it's more favorable for the Maple Leafs with Nazem Kadri in the three hole. Let's not forget he missed a big chunk of last year's first round. due to suspension.
Yep.
We'll see what the back end can bring to the table. The depth scoring going to be huge because I think it's fair to say, like, Boston's line or top line will get theirs. So we'll see what the secondary guys can do. And special teams, massive in this series. You got two top power plays going toe-to-toe, and I think the team who scores the more PP goals will win this series, Roy.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking back. I was a little bit surprised to see that regular season power play percentage didn't really translate into winning the Stanley Cup. Like, the last two teams, Pittsburgh and Washington, that won it were top 10 power plays. But the previous eight champions were bottom half of the league power plays, which is a little surprising. Now, all of those winners did get better in the postseason. They were generally up around 20%. They weren't bad power plays come playoff time. So you just try and pick out, okay, which of these poor power plays can maybe recover to a degree. And I agree with you. Like, you're going to have to be taking advantage of whatever power play opportunities you get. There's not going to be a ton. Again, just opportunities in general are given out on at a lower rate than ever before this season, and that's going to be clamped down even further come playoff time. So there's going to be a ton of weight put on how these teams perform 5-on-5 too. And to your point, you know the top line in Boston is going to get whatever it wants, basically. And I don't think enough attention has been paid to the really great bounce back season David Krejci has had.
Yeah, he's
and
been
he's
great.
Been complimented by Jake DeBrusk really well. And he plays that kind of heavy style of game that you think should be a bit of an Achilles heel for the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's can score some goals. Danton Heinen is another guy who's really had a really strong season for the Boston Bruins. And I mean, they've got to be the favorites here, but I look at Toronto and I see a team that down the stretch was definitely fading. 7-7-4 to finish their season, but their shot metrics were excellent. They had the second highest scoring chance percentage down the stretch, fifth highest high danger scoring chance percentage down the stretch, but they got outscored by one at 5-on-5, and that's because Freddie Anderson was very subpar down the stretch, very reminiscent about last year, went down through March, a sub-900 save percentage, recovered a little bit with two decent starts in April. Same thing this year, a couple of good starts in April, but a bad one to end the season here against Montreal. And the question for Toronto is, like, can Freddie Anderson be the MVP for his team that he was this season? Because if he's like last year, and it wasn't Freddie Anderson's fault that the Toronto Maple Leafs lost to Boston last year, but he absolutely has to be on top of his game to stand a chance against all the weapons, everything that Boston can throw at you. And there's some question whether or not he'll get back to that level in time for round one.
And another X factor, William Nylander, especially if he's on the third line, you look at the matchup game as well. That's going to be crucial, is depth scoring, and it goes for every series in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So that's your 2-3 matchup in the Atlantic Division. From there, we go to the reigning defending Stanley Cup champions, the Washington Capitals. There was a small opportunity for a Pittsburgh-Washington series.
Yeah.
Then Jake Guentzel scored against the Rangers to tie it up and really rid us of that, which would have been an amazing first-round matchup. But nonetheless, the Washington Capitals will take on the bunch of jerks, the battle of the jerks in the first round. We got Kuznetsov against the Carolina Hurricanes. What do you make of that series, Rory Bowden?
I mean, this is going to be fascinating. Do you buy that the great goaltending from Peter Mrazek, Curtis McElhinney, I would imagine it's Peter Mrazek who's going to be starting for the Carolina Hurricanes. Do you think that can just keep up long enough for this team to go on a run? Because you talk about the best offensive teams in the league. You talk about the depth Calgary has, all the goals Tampa Bay scored this year. The Washington Capitals had 720 goal scores, which is two more than what Tampa Bay had in their lineup. So you're talking about scoring depth. That's what Washington has. And Carolina has been one of the top scoring teams in the NHL since January 1st. You know, you look at the season-long stats, and they're more towards the middle of the pack. But really, when they started to get going in the 2019 portion, they were an elite offensive team. But I think that Washington can kind of match them player for player in that regard here. They've got some great defensemen back there, too. Braden Holtby, who had a lot of questions last year heading into the playoffs, didn't even start games one or two. He's been solid for the Washington Capitals. I think Washington is going to be just, it's going to be too much for the Carolina Hurricanes. Yeah, they have the experience. I don't think there's really any cup hangover for this team. There was a little bit of a slow start maybe for them, but they've kind of gotten into form much the way we've seen from Pittsburgh so many times in the past. I just think they have more depth. They have the better goaltender. Carolina's going to be able to beat you with offense, and they can get it from everywhere up front and on their defense. I just think Washington is the better all-around team here.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, this Carolina story has been incredible. I mean, just take a look at my Twitter display picture to show how much I've put into, you know, I got the a bunch of jerk shirt, and I get it. I mean, it's been an incredible run, but I think they're overmatched. I'm with you in this series. I think the Capitals, quite frankly, are going to win easily. Like, this has been a brilliant run for Rod Brind'Amour, but it's one of those moments where it's a learning lesson. Like, you finally get into the Stanley Cup playoffs. Next up for Carolina, can you do some damage in the Stanley Cup playoffs? I mean, just look at the correlation in Toronto. They made the playoffs back-to-back years, and they've done absolutely nothing in the playoffs in terms of getting to the second round. So, I mean, just because you get there doesn't mean you're going to do anything. You know, the one saving grace for that organization, it seems like every time the Hurricanes organization makes the playoffs, they do something pretty worthwhile.
Yes.
They usually get to a conference final or a Stanley Cup final.
They haven't been to the playoffs in 10 years, but the last three times they've made it, to your point, they've made it at least to the conference final. So maybe there's some magic there.
And if you like narratives, there's always a fun revenge narrative. Justin Williams, former Capital.
There you go.
Couldn't get over that hill. Maybe he does with Carolina. That'd be a brilliant story if the Canes did something.
Don't go to game 7, Washington.
Yeah. Definitely don't want that. And with that, one more series to cover. Again, this has been an unbelievable season for the New York Islanders, clinching home ice on Saturday night.
Come back the other way. Jacob Vrana's shot challenged by Beauvillier. Quick outlet pass from Taves to Filppula. And he scores! What an incredible pass from Taves to Filppula, who finds the net in his first game back.
Taking the bit from there.
Altieri Filppula. Little nifty move to find some open ice and then kick it off for Pelech. Back in front, Filppula, he scores! Welcome back into the lineup. 2 in the game for Valtteri Filppula.
As heard on Rogers NHL Live, Brennan Burke, the call on MSG. And the New York Islanders clinching home ice. And it was a tough one at that against the Washington Capitals. Yeah, they're resting some of their guys. Phoenix Copley got the call. But credit to the Islanders. They've always been there when it mattered most this season. They won it 3-0. Behind a Robin Lehner shutout, 29 saves. And how about Valtteri Filppula? Another value buy by Lou Lamoriello around July 1st. Up to, 19 goals or 17 goals on this season for Filppula. You heard he returned to the lineup there. So the Islanders and the Pittsburgh Penguins and the home ice advantage in favor of the Isles. So they'll start at the Coliseum.
I'm really looking forward to that. The playoff atmosphere at Nassau Coliseum is going to be off the charts. They get by at around 2. They're not going to be playing under there anymore, so enjoy this while you have it here. I just don't like the way the Islanders are coming into the playoffs here. You know, with the win tonight, granted against a not the ideal Washington team, 12-9-0 in their last 21 games, outscored 50-48 in all situations in that time. The only playoff team with fewer goals in that span are the Nashville Predators, who I don't think either of us are very high on heading into the postseason.
No.
Now, they are a very strong defensive team. Thomas Greiss, I think, is going to be their starter for game 1, and he's had an amazing season. The Islanders are your William Jennings team, lowest GAA in the league, but I think those goals are starting to creep up. The shots against are starting to creep up. Certainly the high danger ones in front of the net were creeping up towards the end of the season. And now you got to play the Pittsburgh Penguins, and we know that they have the star power to match against any team in this league. Sidney Crosby, 64 points in his last 50 games since Matt Murray returned in mid-December. You know, he carried this team. He carried and certainly helped a lot Jake Guentzel to a 40-goal season. Evgeny Malkin missed some time to injury, and then he was airing his frustrations over his lack of goal scoring this year. If he gets angry in this series, he's going to absolutely start going off. Phil Kessel went 15 games without scoring a goal. Crosby was carrying them through so much of that. And Matt Murray, his season is flying under the radar too, because he got off to a very mediocre start, I would think. Missed a bunch of time in November and December, came back, and has put up a .931 save percentage since then, which is bested only by Bishop and the two Islanders goalies in that time. So I don't know if that goals against defensive strength is really an advantage for the Islanders, given the great goaltending by Murray, and I think you're going to have better playoffs for Malkin and Kessel than regular seasons for them. And as you were mentioning off air, Crosby's an absolute Islanders killer.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was just going to bring up. 66 career games against the Islanders, 36 goals, 77 assists, 113 points in 66 games. Far and away, the most points against any team in his NHL career for Sidney Crosby. He's not even at triple digits against anybody else.
That's
not a good recipe for success if you're the Islanders.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about these teams and what their strengths and weaknesses are and everything like that. And it's the Islanders had an amazing season, but when you get to the playoffs, it's all about matchups. Who are you matching up against? How can they exploit your weaknesses? And I think this is just an unfortunate draw for the Islanders. The Penguins, I think, are going to be able to jump all over whatever strength the Islanders have. And I just think they have too many stars that the Islanders aren't going to really stand a chance.
It's going to be a fun one. You know, part of me suggests, hey, look at Vegas last year. But the other, it's like, look at Crosby's domination. Yes. Look how many perennial Hall of Famers on that Pittsburgh roster. It would be tough to go against the grain there. But we'll see what happens in terms of putting my bracket over the next couple days. That said, there's your Eastern Conference playoff picture in round one. We'll hit the break. Other side, we'll get to the Western Conference. The season finale of the program, it's Nick Alberga, Rory Boylan, Hockey Central Saturday across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
At 590 The Fan. The players might take it one game at a time, but we take all the games at a time. This is Hockey Central Saturday on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
All right, it's time to turn our focus to the Western Conference playoff picture in round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Welcome back to the season finale recap show of Hockey Central Saturday across the Sportsnet Radio Network. It's Nick Alberga joined alongside Rory Boylan. We went over the Eastern Conference in segment one of the show. Now into segment two, we get set for the Stanley Cup playoffs, Rory, which get underway on Wednesday. But first, the draft lottery on Tuesday. A lot of stuff still to come before we get to the main event, if you will, and everything getting underway on Wednesday. Don't forget, coming up on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern time, the official schedule will come out for the Stanley Cup playoffs first round. But starting to get exciting and buzzing, you know. You get that anxiousness in the air at this point in time in the year.
Yeah, and we got a couple of days now to kind of decompress. Yeah. Let's really go deep.
Some people get fired.
Yeah, yeah. Really go deep and analyze these matchups before we fill out our brackets. But, you know, just generally we've got a feel of what these series might look like, who the injured players are, how the teams are trending coming in here. But by Wednesday, you know, we'll be right into the Stanley Cup playoffs, and I think everybody's looking forward to that.
And certainly one of the big stories of the 15-game card in the final day of the NHL season on Saturday was the fact that the Central was up for grabs from 1, 2, to 3, yeah, to even 4. I mean, it was remarkable, that division, all season long. That said, five teams did make the Stanley Cup playoffs from the Central, a juggernaut of a division again, but the division title, another banner. Yes, can't wait for the banner raising at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville.
Teams will attack you. They know to be aggressive because that setup is the most important thing, and it's the hardest thing to do, especially when you've been struggling on the power play that the Preds have.
Arvidsson cutting to the net, shooting, he scores!
There you have it, the call on Fox Sports Tennessee, Willie Donick and Chris Mason. How about Victor Arvidsson? Missed a lot of time, but still sets the career mark in a season for Nashville with 34 goals. Predators take care of business in a 5-2 win against the rival Hawks, so they grab out of nowhere, Rory Boylan, first in the Central, and they'll take on the Dallas Stars in the first round.
It's like nobody wanted to win that division almost at the end, and they left the door wide open for the St. Louis Blues, who ultimately fall short, finished third, tied in points with the Winnipeg Jets. But, you know, 2 months ago, I never would have said these Nashville Predators are going to win this division,
yeah,
because there was nothing special about them. There still isn't.
Nah, that's like, they didn't do anything. They haven't done anything the last couple months, you know what I mean? Like, even their deadline pickups have not been great. Granlund's had a tough time filling in. Wayne Simmons, maybe it translates better to a playoff game for a guy like Wayne Simmons, but You look on paper, this Nashville team should be a buzzsaw. And again, another team was highly picked to win the Stanley Cup this year. I failed thus far to live up to expectation.
Yeah. Now, I will say that, you know, Pecorini went through a stretch there kind of at the end of February, start of March, where he was definitely looking shaky. A five-game stretch where he allowed at least three goals against four times. And it was kind of like, you know, Yu Saros was doing some really great work for the Predators, and it was a storyline we'd seen before, like, what's the leash on Rene? And he finished the season strong, though, with a .927 save percentage in March, a couple of good games against Buffalo and Vancouver to finish the series. So, you know, he's going to need to keep that going against Dallas in the first round, because Dallas is a really good defensive team with Ben Bishop in net, who is going to be a Vezina Trophy finalist, I would imagine. And if injuries hit him again, you can throw in Anton Khudobin, and he's just fine, too. He had an amazing season as their backup. But we know that Nashville's power play was a significant problem for them all season. While that's not necessarily an indicator of postseason success, again, that needs to get better. So more pressure, again, is going to be put on Wayne Simmonds, who they brought in just for that reason, to add something to their power play. It hasn't really worked out so far, but he is also the kind of player with his kind of grit game and that power play game that maybe it translates a little better into the postseason.
I know it's fair to put not a lot of stock into regular season matchups, but if people out there are wondering, Nashville won the season series 3-2. I think of note is that the fact that the two wins by the Dallas Stars were lower scoring type games, a 2-0 game, a 3-1 game, the other a 5-3 for Nashville, 3-2 in OT, and a 5-4 in overtime. So it's quite clear to me that if you want to beat Dallas, you outscore them, and you hope that Bishop or Khudobin, if Bishop can't go, doesn't get into a hot-type role, because that's been the season for Dallas. They've been unbelievable defensively, first time in a while, one of the best teams statistically in the NHL, if not the best, and they want to play that rope-a-dope style. They got the guys who can beat you. They got Sagan, they got Ben, they got Radulov. Zuccarello's back, played that one game that went back out.
I'm sure he'll
come back in. But the depth, huge in that series. And the Predators got to set the tone early, I think, if they want to win that series.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to come out, you want to show some offense, I think. And I think it's important, too, that you don't get, like, Rene lets in a bad goal early on and sets that tone. Like, you've got to come out very, very solid if you're the Nashville Predators. Because any little mistake, I think the Stars are going to jump all over that. I mean, Sagan was great and Radulov was great even after, in the immediate aftermath of Jim Leitz's comments. It took a while for Jamie Benn to kind of get back on track, but for a solid month or more now, he has been on track. He has been generating a lot of points. Getting Matt Zuccarello back is such a massive addition to this team. Finally, their trade deadline acquisition is in the lineup here. I think as a support guy, Rupe Hintz has been a nice little find too. And I think so that there's a few underrated offensive weapons on this team as a unit, because Dallas didn't score a ton of goals this year relative to a lot of teams. It's that defensive shutdown style that is going to really work well in the playoffs. And if I had to pick an upset in the Western Conference, this is the one I'm thinking of. I haven't filled up my bracket yet, but I'm just looking at it. I'm wondering if I know that I'm not high on Nashville. I wonder if Dallas is the team I should pick to go over them.
Were you one of those people a couple years ago that thought Chicago was going to be upset by Nashville? Like Jeff Merrick, I believe, was one of those people.
No, I was not.
These they're so hard to predict, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And that's why there's so much parity in the league, because you really don't know. Again, I think Dallas will win this series if they keep these games close and tight. You know, because once you get into a run and gun tape, I just don't think Dallas has the depth to compete with anybody, even the Nashville Predators at that. So
Dallas's overall shots against are kind of high-ish, like middle of the pack in the entire NHL. But if you look at the percentage of high danger chances they get, they are sixth best in the league, which means they get a heck of a lot more quality chances on offense than they give up on defense. While they give up a fair number of shots overall, a lot of those are coming from the perimeter. Nashville, who hasn't been that strong on offense, really has to find a way to get through that, get to the front of the net, because that's the only way that you're going to have a chance to beat Bishop. If you're getting all your shots all series long from the outside, I think that's the exact kind of game Dallas wants you to play. So let's see how long it takes Nashville to get inside.
We'll stick in the Central Division, and you know, the big battle, of course, those three teams between Nashville, Winnipeg, and St. Louis, who would grab the division? Well, we found out Nashville did so with that victory. So the next in line, was it going to be Winnipeg or St. Louis who had home ice in that 2-3 matchup?
goes across the line. Line with a move around Grabner, put it behind the net for Connor. Penalty is almost over. Wheeler feeds it in front, safely shot, rebound! Connor scores! Kyle Connor on the doorstep. And the Jets have opened up a 3-1 lead.
So the Jets take care of business in Glendale. Kevin Quinn, the call there on the CBC. And so Winnipeg grabs home ice. What do you make of home ice? Do you think it's as big as people talk about in the NHL world?
No. Overall, no, I don't think so.
How about if it's Winnipeg, though?
But Winnipeg, I think, is one of those ones where maybe it does, because that atmosphere is going to be something else. You're going to have the whiteout. The sight of that is amazing. You're going to have all the people outside. That city is going to be living and breathing playoff hockey. You're going to be able to feel that in the MTS Center. You're going to hear the fans get creative with their chants against some of the St. Louis Blues players. So if it's one of those few arenas where I think it helps a little bit more to be at home.
It's going to be fun, too, with Jordan Binnington getting the call in game one. I mean, he's been so calm, cool, and collected, but this kid has never played in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's a whole different ball game, and I'm with you. Like, this is a pick 'em in my world. Yep. I just like what St. Louis has done in the last, 40 games of the season.
Yeah.
And I don't like how Winnipeg has looked down the stretch. But again, I always take with a grain of salt how teams do down in the last 15 to 20 games, because, again, Winnipeg clinched a long, long time ago in their minds. So it's hard to find the motivation. I know it's weird to say for professional athletes, but you can't. These guys are human. I mean, they know their fate has been sealed for a while. They were going to the Stanley Cup playoffs, and on paper, they have more talent than the Blues.
Yeah, it's just since January 1, Winnipeg has the 29th best, third worst shot share at 5-on-5 in the NHL. That's significantly troubling. Now, most of that time was without one or both of Dustin Byfuglien and Josh Morrissey. That's going to be huge if you can get Josh Morrissey back early in that series. Their whole team changes. And I just have to think that Mark Scheifele and Blake Wheeler are going to absolutely step up and be monsters for the Winnipeg Jets. Those are guys who they're true leaders, right? They live and breathe hockey.
Yeah.
They want to win this thing, and they're going to try and bring out the best. But St. Louis, like, Tarasenko has been scoring on a 42-game pace in the second half. Ryan O'Reilly's been amazingly consistent. Vince Dunn and Alex Petrangelo have been phenomenal. Jay Bouwmeester's come around. It is a toss up, a pick 'em. Like, I don't know who I'm going to pick in this series. It's easy to say the Blues, but I don't think the Winnipeg Jets would go out easily by any measure.
It hasn't happened since 1993. We got three chances at a Canadian team winning this time around, so we'll see if it happens. It's one of those teams, the Calgary Flames, who won first in the Western Conference. Nobody really talking about it, but they're taking on the Colorado Avalanche in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. I think one favorite, one underdog, definitively. It's you know, Calgary's favorite to win, and rightfully so, this series. Again, the big question for both of us will be the goaltending, whether it be Riddick or Mike Smith. They clearly have the edge in the back end. They have the Norris winner, projected one at that, and Mark Giordano, among others, up front. They got that top line. It's going to be fun to see if Rantanen can play those two top lines and go toe-to-toe, but I still give the definitive advantage to Calgary in this series.
Yeah, Calgary's just got more depth scoring. That was the obvious weakness for the Colorado Avalanche all season. I think, you know, if Colorado wins this series, two things are going to happen. Philip Grubauer has got to stand on his head, and he's been really great down the stretch. 929 save percentage in February, 955 in March to close it out, to really take over that number one job. I mean, he kind of did this last year in Washington and then was terrible in the first two games against Colorado, and they had to go back to against Columbus and go back to Braden Holtby. That cannot happen for the Colorado Avalanche this year. And the other thing that's going to happen is Nathan MacKinnon is going to own this series. You're going to see him everywhere here. There's going to be all the pressure on him to generate so much scoring to match up against the two and maybe three pretty good scoring lines that Calgary can have. Calgary can score against you. They can play a good grit game. I just think they're too deep. I love the future and how it looks for the Colorado Avalanche, but I think there's going to be at least one or two years of losing in the playoffs before they're ready to take a jump over the hump.
And again, the underlying story, too, you're playing in Canada. With all due respect to the States, it's a whole different ballgame in terms of the coverage, especially in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and especially considering this nation has not won a cup since 1993. Let's get to the final series, and it's 2-3 in the Pacific Division. It's the San Jose Sharks and the Vegas Golden Knights. Clearly, to me, I think it comes down to goaltending right away. Marc-Andre Fleury did not look good in L.A. on Saturday. We'll give him a pass because, again, it's the final game, the motivation not there, but you would think Fleury's going to be better than Jones, and that's why I'm leaning towards Vegas, but I still don't know for sure.
I don't think Fleury by any means should be a Vezina finalist this year. I think his season has been really overrated on that regard, but he's a fine goalie still. And you look at the tandem in San Jose there, Martin Jones wasn't really that great. The two of them combined, him and Arundel, the second worst save percentage in the NHL next to the Florida Panthers. I mean, I can't bet on a team, even though Joe Thornton was 15 points in his last 18 games there, just a phenomenal turnaround for him. You got three lines with that Gustav Nyquist pickup. Him,
underrated.
Evander Kane, yeah, Timo Meier, I hope he's back in time. He scored 30 goals. Like, they're legitimately three excellent scoring lines that San Jose can throw at you, and that is going to be really difficult to handle for the Vegas Golden Knights. But you could say, well, Vegas does too, because you have the Pacioretty-Stastny line, you have the first line from last year, you have Alex Tuck, who was your leading scorer at the trade deadline, playing on your third line too. You could say that they have really good weapons across three lines. I think they have the better goaltending. The advantage on the blue line probably goes to San Jose with Erik Karlsson back in the lineup in the last day of the regular season. I just think that goaltending is way too big of a weakness for the San Jose Sharks. I cannot pick them to win over Vegas. Vegas, the record at the end here doesn't look great, but a lot of those games Malcolm Subban was playing as Fleury was out of the lineup with an injury, I think that's a little bit overblown. I think Vegas is coming in a little hotter than it looks at first sight.
Yeah, truthfully, and that's why we love the NHL. It's just so hard to pick these respective series, and every year after year, we just get stuck trying to predict these first-round matchups, and there's a reason why people don't like predictions, because you look like an idiot, and that's why we're putting ourselves out there. But do you have a Stanley Cup pick in mind? I know you picked one in the preseason that you want to stick with, no?
Well, I don't know. I kind of am looking at...
Who did you like? St. Louis, was it?
No, St. Louis I really actually did not like it. I kind of remember. I remember I had Vegas going to the Cup Final again. I don't remember who I picked as my preseason Stanley Cup pick, but I have to go with Tampa Bay at this point. I know I said I might pick Pittsburgh to come out of the East, and maybe when I sit down in my brackets, that's what I'll do. It's just...
Tampa's good, man. Again, like, people are going to complain and say, oh, you know, like, you're picking the favorite. But it's been such a historically amazing season for Tampa, one that's rarely seen in this day and age. It took, what, 20, 22 years for it to happen?
Yep.
I just, sometimes President Trophy winners are just overwhelming. We got that with Chicago a couple years ago in that shortened season where they just, they won a 24-game streak where they didn't lose a game in regulation. Like, this was a Tampa team that was just way better than everybody else, and they showed it every game.
Yeah, I mean, by no means is it going to be easy for them to get through. Like, I see them cruising relatively quickly through the first round, but then if you got to play Boston or Toronto, I think either one of those teams, I mean, the fact that they've even got to the second round means they're playing good hockey again. I think they're going to give them a handful, and then if you get to the Eastern Conference Final, you're facing Washington or Pittsburgh. I mean, maybe you're facing Carolina or the Islanders, and if that's the case, I really like Tampa Bay. But if you're playing Pittsburgh or Washington at that point, the last three Stanley Cup winners, really well-rounded teams, there are going to be a couple of really tough rounds for Tampa Bay just to get to the Stanley Cup Final. So it's a league of parity, and even though they got here with such dominance, everything changes in the playoffs. It's much harder to win 4-7 when everything is on the line here. But you just look at all their strength, how few weaknesses there are. I mean, they don't even really have an obvious weakness. As long as they don't get banged up by injuries, you hope Victor Hedman is fine and can play throughout. You hope Andrei Vasilevskiy is fine and can play throughout. Any major injuries hit, and that changes the equation a bit, but just looking at the team on paper and how they match up, they can basically play anyway. Look at how they played against the Washington Capitals three times in the month of March. Those are really heated physical games. Tampa Bay is... You can't just think of them as a small, skilled, speedy team. They are that, but they can play a heavy hockey style if that's the way the series is going, and they'll be just successful at that.
Yeah, and I think that's what sets this team, honestly, apart from others, is the way they can beat you. They can play that grind game, as you mentioned. They can play that high-scoring game if you want. They can play physical if you want. Yep. Like, they have everything covered. But again, until they're that team who can finally climb the beast and the barrier and get there like Washington, then we always have to doubt them a tad. Like, it's been a great year, but until they prove it, I mean, they haven't done it. And I do feel like the one team who's going to threaten them outside of Boston, although I think it's fair to bring up, last year we all thought Boston and they lost in five games. They were destroyed. Is the Washington Capitals. I like the way the Capitals have looked going into the playoffs.
Yeah, me too. And when I was looking back at some stats here, so eight of the last 11 Stanley Cup champions have finished the regular season top five in five-on-five goals for percentage. Those five teams this year, Tampa Bay Lightning, Calgary Flames, New York Islanders, Washington Capitals, and Boston Bruins, Toronto Maple Leafs are sixth.
We're all grinning here. Program's done for the year, Rory.
I can't believe it.
It's been a lot of fun, honestly, working with you guys this season and covering the regular season. Of course, we won't be back for the Stanley Cup playoffs. But again, you can follow us on Twitter at the Golden Muzzy, at Rory Boylan for hot takes on a daily basis. More so me. You don't really tweet much, but you can catch Rory on sportsnet.ca. Rory, it's been a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, man. I'm going to miss seeing you every Saturday night.
Yeah, we'll still talk. You can hit me up on text. I'll probably ghost you now and again, but eventually, a couple texts later, I'll reach out to you. Hayden, great job. Apologies on the Minnesota Wild. Maybe next year for your organization. Tristan and Jared back at Master Control. Exceptional job. It's been so much fun bringing this program to you for the final time. You've been listening to Hockey Central Saturday across the Sportsnet Radio Network.